This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for Monday, April 24th. I'm Curtis Fox. Today, a subway ride with C.K. Williams. C.K. Williams was born in 1936. He teaches creative writing at Princeton, and he lives part of the year in Paris. His poetry is very prosy, long sentences, chatty, often narrative. He's a poet who's interested in the way the mind works, with psychology and the nuances of perception. In a typical C.K. Williams poem, something happens, often something very ordinary, and the poet's mind starts to get exercised about it. His thoughts start to swarm around it like flies around a fresh piece of meat. This is more or less what happens in the poem you're about to hear. It's called On the Metro, and it's about an older guy on the metro in Paris who starts thinking a little too much about the young woman, a stranger, sitting next to him. France, of course, is a book-loving country, and both he and the woman next to him are reading highbrow literature. The poem refers to Ciorin, the pessimistic Romanian-French writer, and Gombrowicz, the great modern Polish novelist. The reader is Dion Flynn.
On the Metro by C.K. Williams. On the metro, I have to ask a young woman to move the packages beside her to make room for me. She's reading, her foot propped on the seat in front of her, and barely looks up as she pulls them to her. I sit, take out my own book, Ciorin, The Temptation to Exist, and notice her glancing up from hers to take in the title of mine, and then, as Gombrowicz puts it, she affirms herself physically. That is, becomes present in a way she hadn't been before. Though she hasn't moved, she's allowed herself to come more sharply into focus, be more accessible to my sensual perception, so I can't help but remark her strong figure and very tan skin, how literally golden young women can look at the end of the summer. She leans back now, and as the train rocks and her arm brushes mine, she doesn't pull it away. She seems to be allowing our surfaces to unite, the fine hairs on both our forearms, sensitive, alive, achingly alive, bring news of someone touched, someone sensed, and thus acknowledged, known. I understand that in no way is she offering more than this, and in truth I have no desire for more. But it's still enough for me to be taken by a surge, first of warmth, then of something like its opposite. A memory. A girl I'd mooned for from afar, across the table from me in the library in school now. Our feet, I thought, touching even again, and then, with all I craved that touch to mean, my having to realize it wasn't her flesh, my flesh for that gleaming time, had pressed, but a table leg. The young woman today removes her arm now, stands, swaying against the lurch of the slowing train, and crossing before me brushes my knee and does that thing again, asserts her bodily being again, Gombrowicz again, then quickly moves to the door of the car and descends, not once looking back, to my relief not looking back, and I allow myself the thought that, though I must be to her again as senseless as that table of my youth, as wooden, as unfeeling, perhaps there was a moment I was not.
Dion Flynn reading On the Metro by C.K. Williams. There's a line in that poem that I just don't buy. Here's what leads up to it. The speaker, obviously an older man, is sitting next to an attractive young woman. He notices her. She seems to notice him. They brush arms. She doesn't pull her arm away. He falls into reverie. And then he says,
I understand that in no way is she offering more than this, and in truth I have no desire for more.
Yeah, right. No desire for more. But desire is all about more, and he clearly desires the woman sitting next to him. I don't know whether the speaker is trying to fool us or himself, but the line just doesn't ring true. In any case, this very ordinary experience of rubbing arms with a pretty woman on the subway sets off a memory. He remembers a girl he had the hots for back in his school days.
A girl I'd mooned for from afar across the table from me in the library in school now. Our feet, I thought, touching even again. And then, with all I craved that touch to mean, my having to realize it wasn't her flesh, my flesh for that gleaming time, had pressed, but a table leg.
That's such a wonderful comic image, an adolescent boy getting aroused by a piece of furniture. But then the speaker is jerked out of the past and back to the subway when the woman sitting next to him gets up.
The young woman today removes her arm now, stands, swaying against the lurch of the slowing train, and crossing before me brushes my knee and does that thing again, asserts her bodily being again, Gombrowicz again, then quickly moves to the door of the car and descends, not once looking back, to my relief not looking back.
So the speaker and his younger self both crave the same thing, real contact. They both want something real to break through the sterile clouds of thought and desire that they find themselves trapped in. And there's great pathos here, because the speaker and his younger self are at different ends of a sexual life. The teenager at least has a future in front of him when he will no doubt have opportunities to caress more than table legs. But the older man must know that he is nearing the end of his sexual viability. He wants desperately to be reassured that he still got it. But the woman on the subway never really gave him a clear signal, so he has to go back into his mind and imagine the impression that he might have made on her.
And I allow myself the thought that, though I must be to her again as senseless as that table of my youth, as wooden, as unfeeling, perhaps there was a moment I was not.
Tomorrow on the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, Tom Slay reads a few of his poems.
My mother and I and the dog were floating weightless in the kitchen. Silverware hovered above the table.
Let us know if you're having any trouble subscribing to this podcast, and please drop us a line about what you think of it. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.